Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Amen. You know, the church, this old building, is so important. My brother-in-law, Doyle, I know I told you this a few weeks ago, but I think Doyle is, he's just so simple and plain and sweet, and I think he said something that was probably one of the most profound things that I've heard during this uncertain time that we're in. And he said a man was telling him, he was inviting him to church, and he was a part of the fellowship. And he said, "Oh, Doyle," he says, "I don't have to go to that church." He says, "I am the church. God lives in me. Don't you know, Brother Doyle, we are the church?" And Doyle said, "Yes, brother, I know that." He says, "I'm the church too. We are the church because Christ dwells in us." But he said, the people that drive down the street, they think that the building is the church. To them, this building is the church. And this is the place that God chose on earth for you and me to come together and worship him. This building is sanctified, and that means separated. Every church building is set aside and separated and sanctified just for people to come in together and worship him. Amen? Oh, I love that. I just wanted to share that with you. Okay, well, let's get right into the word. I want you to turn over to 2 Kings. It's in the Old Testament, back a little ways toward the front, but you'll find 2 Kings, and I'm going to bring you an old, old story, but it is just as current as when it was written. So I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord gave me on this just yesterday and begin to bring it together. And I am so thankful for what he is speaking. Only the Holy Spirit knows how to speak right in times like these. I'm going to tell you, there's not one time that I get up here before I get up here, I better know what's going on before I get here. I usually do because he gives me a message. But before I get here, a few days before, I don't have a clue. And I was in tears yesterday morning saying, oh God, if you don't come and speak tomorrow, I won't have anything. If you don't give me some kind of direction, you know I don't have it. I don't have anything to give unless you come by and speak this word. And my mind went to a funny place, and I thought of my mother's aunt. My mother's aunt lived in Bakersfield, and she was so pleasant and so joyful, and a little bit plump, and happy. But do you realize why she was plump? Because every single time that we went by her house when we were in Bakersfield, it didn't matter whether she knew we were coming or she didn't know we were coming. Her name, they called her Aunt Willie. Now, that was my mother's aunt, but we grew up calling her Aunt Willie. And every time we went to Aunt Willie's house, there would be food ready. I don't know how she did it. She would have a pot of beans, a fresh pot of cornbread. There would be that or something else, but she always had a blackberry cobbler or a peach cobbler. Now, how she just pulled that out and it was always ready, I don't know. She always had sweet iced tea, I mean Texas tea, just ready to go. And so everybody loved to stop at Aunt Willie's house. It didn't matter who it was. She was going to get you to come in there and sit down and eat. And I began to think of her huge pot on the stove and the taste she would have in it. And here's the thing I remember as a little girl. When we went in, you could smell it cooking. The smell, the aroma was in the house. I mean, you didn't have to go over and pull the lid off and all you had to do is walk in the house and the smell. I mean, just open that screen door and out was coming the aroma. And all of a sudden, see, the Holy Spirit knows all things, and he usually runs, to me anyway, the truth. You'll understand the natural, and then I understand the spiritual better. So because I understood Aunt Willie's house and her cooking pattern and the pot, I want to preach to you a little message right now, or I'll just bring you a little message called Soup's On. How many of you'd like a little soup this morning? Lynn, I promised you I'd get you some soup this week. Yeah, I missed you last week, but you're going to like this, Lynn. In fact, I started to have call Dee this morning, say, Dee, could you go to a Smart Final, see if you can get everybody a spoon? And when they walk in, let's give them a spoon, but it was a little late. Yeah, anyway. So you don't have a spoon, but just do this right now. Just practice. All right, you guys are good. Okay, so with that said, I want you to go over to 2 Kings. You can read above if you don't see it in your Bible or don't have it. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to the servant, Put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out to the field to gather herbs, and he found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds. And he came and he sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. And then they served it to the men to eat. And it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, Men of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. And he said, Then bring me some flour. Other translations say meal. Bring me some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, Serve it to the people that they may eat. And then there was nothing harmful in the pot. I want to tell you guys today something that everybody knows. I'm not telling you anything you don't know right now. But there has been a great falling away from the church. Oh, y'all didn't know that? Thank you. There's been a great falling away from the church over the past 100 years. It's not as though we weren't warned that it would happen. But this Elisha, I want you to know, is a type of Jesus in the New Testament. This Elijah, the Bible says, went back to Gilgal while there was a famine in the land. Gilgal was taught to us a few years ago, I'll never forget it, that Gilgal means the place of a lot of religious activity where there is nothing going on. I think the churches over the past few years have been churches of programs. And let's see what we could do to get people in here not concerned about their soul, baby, but so much with their numbers. Why are y'all so quiet in here this morning? You're acting like a Presbyterian church or something. And so he says, he went down to Gilgal, a place of religious activity. The church has become a place of religious activity, but not a lot going on, amen? Not a lot of miracles. Not even a lot of salvations anymore. I mean, not a lot of stuff happening. So he went down there, but Elisha being a type of Jesus. See, Elisha, before we get to this chapter, if you want to read back, just read the whole book of Kings, 2 Kings, and you'll see the first book of Kings was about Elijah and the works that Elijah did, but Elisha followed Elijah, and he mentored him, and so he even did more works and more miracles than Elijah. His name means God of salvation. Elisha means God of salvation. So him being a type of Jesus, you'll look back and you could see where Elisha cleansed the leper. In the New Testament, we know Jesus didn't just cleanse one leper. He cleansed many lepers. In fact, he made them, the Bible says, whole. Those that didn't have a half an ear or a half a hand or no toes because of the leprosy, Jesus just put them all back on. That's the kind of power he had. He just made them whole. Elisha brought, remember the woman who he prophesied, you're going to have a baby boy, and yet her womb was barren. She couldn't have children, but she had the baby boy, and then he died. And then Elisha raised him from the dead. Jesus raised not only Lazarus from the dead, he's the most popular one, but not only did he raise Lazarus from the dead, he raised many people from the dead. So there were so many things that they ran things on, just alike. Elisha put the pot of stew on the stove or on the fire, but I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But I just wanted to show you this, that Elisha came to a hungry people in a darkened world. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he came into a darkened world. And he came into a world where people were hungry for the truth. They had been expecting the Messiah to come, but they just didn't expect him to be born a baby. And yet the Bible told them, one of the signs that the Messiah would be born is that they would find him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they just couldn't believe that a king, the Messiah, would be born in a manger. It just didn't make sense. And a lot of things, folks, that happen in our lives just don't make sense. And when they don't make sense, we can't stand it. It's ugly. It doesn't fit our agenda. It doesn't feel good, and it's ugly, and it's awkward. And yet Elijah said, I'm going back down there to Gilgal. I know there's nothing going on, and I know it's dark. But he had the school of the prophets there, the sons of the prophets. And he was always teaching them. We can somewhat say that the church is a place of the sons and the daughters of God. It's a place where we gather to hear and to learn and to grow and mature and expand our faith and all of those things. And so we got down there, but even though he was with the sons of the prophet and those who believed God, there was a problem. There was a famine in the land. And I mean, these people, they were not physically hungry. You say, well, I'm hungry too. You know, we're living in a day of famine. You go to the grocery stores and there's not a lot of toilet paper. And there's not a lot of paper towels. And, oh, I went to get napkins the other day. Can't hardly find paper goods. And this, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Or you open your refrigerator and you stand there and you're like, oh, I don't know what I want. And you push that back. No, that's not it. I don't know what I'm hungry for. You go look at the cabinet and you stand there for a minute and you go back to the refrigerator. No, 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 not that kind of hungry. They were hungry. I mean, they were starving. They didn't have anything to eat. So Elisha acts like my Aunt Willie and says to the prophet, to the servant, I don't know if it was Gehazi, who was most of the time the one that followed him around and was with him all the time. But he told one of the servants, he said, hey, go get the pot and put it on the fire and whip them up some stew. And that little prophet, the servant, probably didn't even look at him funny because he was so used to Elisha's word being so pure and so right on. And so he must have thought, if Elisha, the man of God, tells us that I'm going to make stew, I'm going to make stew. And so I don't know where the vegetables came from. Was there meat in the stew? I don't know. But somebody went and got the vegetables and brought them, and they put it all in the stew, got everything going on. It was cooking. It was smelling good. Everything was going good. And so they were all eating, and all of a sudden, verse 39 changes the subject. Have you ever just, everything in your life just been going so smooth? I mean, it was just beautiful. And oh, man, Dottie Rambo wrote a song one time called, I Could Get Used to Being This Happy. Oh, she said, the blessings of the Lord are good. But then all of a sudden, things changed. So she said to the servant, put on a large pot and boil the stew for the sons of the prophets. The prophets are thinking, yes! Man, we're going to eat. We're going to have some stew. And I know this man can cook. So they're smelling it. Cooked so excited. Verse 39 says, so one went out to the field to gather herbs, found a wild vine and gathered it, a whole lap full of them, wild gourds. And he came and he sliced them into the pot of stew. And they didn't even know what they were. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'll bet they didn't even know who that man was. They didn't know what was happening, but he went out there. He picked up some of those old wild gourds. They were very hard. I looked it up. What were these gourds like? It says they grow in Israel and they're like a cucumber. But after staying in the sun for very long, they will become very hard. And when they do that, the seeds inside, the sun will scorch them because of the heat, and the seeds become poisonous. And so he went out, filled his apron full of gourds, the wild gourds, and when he got them, he just came and dumped them into the pot. Sliced them up, however he did that, and put them in the pot. And the people didn't know who this stranger was and what he was putting in the pot, because everybody was putting things in the pot. But then when they served it to the men to eat, they cried out. Now it happened as they were eating the stew, they cried out and said, "Man of God, there's death in the pot. Something's wrong. Don't eat that. Don't eat it. Something is wrong with that. Please don't eat it." I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I will, because it's on me, and it's something that happened a long time ago, and I've learned to cook since then, so don't hold it against me. But I was a newlywed. Well, I'd had my girls already, so I was a little slow in learning. And so the girls were there, and one night, I thought, it was winter time. I'm going to fix a big pot of stew. They will be so happy. My husband will love it. And so I got to stew on, and they all sat down to eat. They got their bowls ready, their iced tea, everything's good, you know, cornbread to go with it. And they picked up, this is what these people reminded me of. And it happened as they were eating the stew, they cried out, "Man of God, there's death in the pot." And my husband said, "Honey, what did you put in this stew?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, it tastes funny." He said, "Girls," Jamie says, "Daddy, do we have to eat this?" "Well, no, just wait a minute. Mom, what did you put in the stew?" "Well," I said, "I smelled it starting to burn, and I thought it was burning. And so I went over there, and I scraped around the bottom. Sure enough, it was burning. But somebody told me somewhere to put peanut butter in it. So I put two big tablespoons of peanut butter in that stew and stirred it up, and it thickened it so good. Man, it was thick and it looked good. Now, it didn't smell real good, but I thought, they'll never know." So they got their soup, and he says, "No, girls," he says, "you don't have to eat it." He says, no offense to me, no offense, but let's just go downtown. I'll take you all to eat. I mean, we're up at the ranch. We're 20, 25 minutes away. So let's just go to town and we'll eat. So we went down. Now, they didn't cry death in the pot, but if they ate it, they thought they would die. But here is why I put the, can I tell you why I put the peanut butter in? I made a mistake. What I heard about burnt stew or burnt beans was not peanut butter. The word, at least I heard this, I think, was put potatoes in it. Put a raw potato. Do you ladies ever hear that? Thank you, Greta. So you put a raw potato in there and it'll take away the taste. But the peanut butter, you taste that, believe me. So anyway, they cried out, "Oh, I must have talked too long. Look at that. I've lost my..." Let me get back over here. So they start crying. And you know who they went to when they said, "There's death in the pot, death in the pot. Something's wrong. We don't like this." They went to Elisha. They didn't go to the stranger who brought it. No, they went over there. So Elisha says to the servant, "Now go get me the meal or get me the flour, go get it." And when they brought it, see, it would thicken it up. But Elisha, being a man like Jesus, full of power, full of miracles, supernatural power, which I believe is getting ready to come on the earth, he just threw the meal in the pot. And the Bible says, when he put it into the pot, he said, "Now serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. All was well. Had I only known, I would have gotten some meal and thrown it in the pot. It may have worked. But anyway, there was nothing harmful in this pot because of the faith of Elisha. Now, I want to talk to you about this. When Jesus came to earth, Elisha came at a very dark time and when the people were hungry. And when Jesus was born, he came to a very dark earth. No one had heard, not the prophets hadn't heard anything. It had been a long time of darkness. Jesus grew up, and you know the history there. But when Jesus died 33 years later, it was dark on earth again. It was dark, and people were scared, and they were wondering, what's happening on this earth? We have no idea what's happening. And when Jesus died, they just thought, our hope is over. I mean, it's gone. If he's left us, what are we going to do now? Well, Jesus went away. And he died. You know, he rose from the dead. He went away. And when he went away, he said, I will send the promise of the Father back to you. And the promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. So Jesus dwells in heaven at the right hand of the Father and dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on earth helping you and I every single day of our lives. Amen. So I just want to ask you this morning, what do you think Jesus left in the pot? He put a big pot on the fire, and the fire was the Holy Spirit. It was a picture of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came to earth on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said tongues of fire set upon them all. He came in the symbol of fire. And so Jesus said, I put the pot, the church, let's let the pot church represent the pot, or the pot the church, and he set it on the fire of God. The wood that went on the fire, let that be our prayers. Do you know how powerful our prayers are? If we really knew how powerful our prayers are, we would fill our day with prayers. Instead of our worries would be turned to prayers, as a popular phrase on Facebook says, turn your worries into prayer. So powerful. And Jesus said, oh, just talk to me in the name that's above every name. So we've got this pot, the church, sitting on the fire of God, feeding it with the wood, our prayers. And then we get to eat what's in the pot. And when Jesus died on the cross, and when he was resurrected, and when he went away, and when he was sent the Holy Spirit back, let me tell you what happened. Yes, Elisha called fire down and burnt up the prophets of Baal, those evil voices, those liars. He burnt them up. How? With the fire of God. Jesus came again with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus put in that pot for you and me, first, our salvation, our redemption, like we sung about this morning, his redeeming power. He saved us from hell. He saved us from our very selves. I'm glad I'm saved from hell, but I'm glad I'm saved from me. Man, I need him just to go to the grocery store. I'm not worried about getting to heaven. I'll get there. I just want him to help me go out of my house and stay safe. Amen. So then he gave us his love in that pot. So like Elisha, he said, put the pot on the stove. And the Holy Spirit called a church together in the upper room. And it's been together ever since. And he began to stir the pot with Jesus' love and Jesus' deliverance and his mercy and his grace. It does not matter what you did yesterday, what you did last week, who you were with, what you caused to happen. Let the past be the past. Jesus said, all of that's passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's behind you. Your future is in front of you. So Jesus put our deliverance in the pot, and he stirred it up, and he put his grace, which is the salt, and he salted that old stew to make it tasty, and then he put his grace, and he put his healing virtue, and he put his healing power, and he put everything that you and I would ever have need of in this life, and he just stirred it up, and he said, come on, y'all come and eat with me, just come into the church, just come, we've got it ready for you. And then you and I came along, and we were saved by grace, and we brought all of our old ugly stuff, and Jesus took it away from us. We were all sinners. We were all bad boys and bad girls, but he saved us all. And then we put our testimony in the pot, and we brought our love and we put it in the pot. And then we brought our love for him and we brought our praise like we did this morning. You know, when we were praising the Lord and we were worshiping him and we prayed, you know what we did? We put some more stuff in the pot. We just keep filling that pot. Jesus filled it first with everything we would need, and then we fill the pot. And then when people come in, or you meet them in the world, or you meet them wherever, then you can say, would you like a bite? And you can begin to serve and take the lid off, and they will smell the aroma of the good cooking stew. You'll always have something on the stove, like old Aunt Willie always had on the stove. The biggest thing that Jesus, I guess he didn't put it in the pot because it's all him, is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is that he died, he was crucified, he was buried, and he resurrected. He went away. He sent the Holy Spirit to us, and he will return. Everything lines up just like he said it would be in the word of the Lord. Up until now, everything has just lined up. The next move is the coming of the Lord. He's really coming back to earth. Amen, somebody? So, see, when we were growing up in a Pentecostal organization, church, we pretty much were pretty prejudiced because we thought that only the Pentecostals had the corner on the thing. We were the only ones that knew anything. And then I started traveling around. We went to other churches, and I found out the Baptists had something going on too. I found out that they were acquainted with the scriptures. I mean, one time we even went into a Methodist church. And the pastor said, now when you give that altar call, I want you to call them up, but give the microphone back to me. Well, I was always obedient in the other churches, submissive to the pastor. I finished and I gave him the microphone. He said, would you all come up here that don't know Jesus? And he pretty much said to them, do you know you're a dirty, rotten sinner? I mean, this man was just out there. And so I found out, you know what, there was a lot of other organizational people that were good in Christ, that they had accepted him, and they were even in the pot with us. There were some Methodists in the pot with us, and some Pentecostals, and some Presbyterian, and some Baptists, and even some Catholics. There were all kinds of people who loved Jesus with all of their heart that came in the pot. And so you see, when the Holy Spirit stirred it up, I believe that's where David's words came from that said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody needs to put that spoon back up to your mouth. Just taste it. My cousin Pam in Texas, she was out here visiting me, and I took her to a steakhouse. And the steak was so good. And she said, I'll tell you something. She said, if you'll just close your eyes when you take a bite of that. She said, things taste so much better when you close your eyes. I closed my eyes and take. I'm telling you, just try it sometime, you'll see. But when we eat of this stew that Jesus has provided, it's, oh, taste and see, David said, that the Lord is good. Well, let me talk about this stranger that brought something to the mix, and I won't hold you much longer, but I want you to see this. See, so we know what happened to that pot of stew. We know what ruined it. It was those gourds. But we knew what made it right, and that was the meal. Now, when you go over to 1 Timothy, I want you to hear this. You got to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Please read it above if you don't have your Bible. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly, says, that in the latter times, that means the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. He said, this is going to happen. Now, everything in the church, we've got the love of Jesus, we've got salvation, we've got his grace, we've got his mercy, we've got his forgiveness. We have his healing power. We have his deliverance. I mean, some he delivered from alcohol addiction, from a drug addiction, from all kinds of addictions, and we're all in the pot together, and everything was going so good, and all of a sudden, we saw things start to happen in the church. And I just read to you what happened. We wait, hold on a minute, something is wrong with the church. Hold on a minute, how come there's so many empty seats? How come we don't see what we used to see? Well, Timothy just told us, the Spirit tells you that in the last days, some will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It'll all seem okay, and they will speak lies, and they will have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. There's people today, if they could kill a baby at the last trimester, at the very last day that baby is being born, their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Something is wrong. And when they come to us and begin to speak these lies into the church, a lot of things, there's false teachers and false prophets that have crept into the church. And the Bible says as they have crept into the church, they have taken silly women captive. Isn't that amazing? Taken silly women captive. Oh, he said they will speak lies and hypocrisy. Today you watch complacency come into the church. People all laid back in the spirit, no longer excited about the things of God. Don't have to be faithful anymore. Have a little dabble of sin over here and a little sin over there. A little of this, a little of that, a little mix, a little worldliness. Strange doctrines coming in. Oh, all kinds of things. Not believing in the rapture of the church anymore. All kinds of things. And all of a sudden, the church begins to cry out, whoa, something is deadly wrong. You ask, who is that man? Who is it that brings these strange things? Who is it? And you say, what are you doing? What are you putting it? Remember what in Elisha? In 2 Kings, it said they didn't know what those gourds were. They didn't know. And I venture to say in the church today, sometimes we don't even know. It slept in so quietly and so secretly and so sweetly. And so you ask, what are those gourds? What is that doctrine? Where did you come from? What do you believe? And they cannot tell you exactly, but they say, I'll tell you this. Look, look, look. It's not the way it used to be. You're all under grace. You're all under grace. You could do this and that, and you could be full of sin and go lay down over here and do this, whatever you want to do, but you're all under grace. Yes, we're under grace. But we better keep the entire word together. We better keep it, church. Now, look. Look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want you to see this, and I'm closing. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, says this in verse 3. I'm not just telling you what I think. I'm bringing you the word of the Lord. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. The truth is too hard. Turn their ears away from the truth and they'll be turned aside to fables, to nice little stories. Now you can turn your TV on anytime and get the nicest little story you ever heard. Because we might run somebody off. All right, let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. You've got to see this. Look. Timothy addresses us in verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Don't fool with that mess. It'll lead to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like what? Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of that sort. They have strayed concerning the truth. saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone whose name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He said, you stay away from that mess. Iniquity means sin. Iniquity are weaknesses. Even though you're under grace, he said, you stay away. Grace helps us live the life. Grace helps us when you get in a time of temptation to turn away from it. Listen, all these things are here for our own good. He said, I don't want it to spread like cancer in you. Elisha said, bring me the meal, I'll put it in the pot. There was no harm. Jesus went away, but he said, here's my Holy Spirit, and I left this for you. In fact, the Bible said that this is Jesus. It says that the word that came out of the mouth of God, one day when God said, let there be light, the word came out of his mouth. And John said, the word is Jesus. And then he said, this word took on flesh and dwelt among men. This word took on flesh and became Jesus, the Son of God. And he walked among men, and he said, I gave you this word. This word, throw it in the pot. It's in the pot. Whenever you hear death, or something in your life trying to take you down, trying to take you over, trying to destroy you, trying to control you. Did you ever notice how many times you get something trying to control you? It's that spirit of Jezebel. He said, just throw a little word in the pot. That's why you just get a piece of a psalm, or get a piece of John, or get a piece of something out of here. It's the word of the Lord. Just put it in there. I'll tell you, church, Jesus knows his own. He said, nevertheless, I know who you are. I know you who love me. I know you who are serious with me. I know you who have put your commitment in the pot. It's the best thing in the world. This is the best thing in the world, and it contains the very best food on earth. Jesus said, you cannot eat at my table and the table of devils. You cannot drink of my, you cannot drink at my table and the table of devils. It's the best there is. This is why we have communion every month. So let's open the lid of the pot. And every time somebody's with us, when they have a need, we're there to help them and be there. Let them smell. Let all taste and see. This is really good. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I'm thankful for everyone that's in this house this morning. So thankful for those that are home watching on TV. Keep every one of them, those, Lord, that are sick in their bodies or have an issue going on, may you bring deliverance. Those that are in the hospital, Lord, those that are dealing with COVID, Lord, I pray that you would give them your word. May this word cover them. May you give them your healing stew to eat of. May they eat off of your stew today. Lord, while even Drew is going away to the army, may he eat of your stew every day. Have a bite. Men in this house, you deal with stuff that your wives will never know you deal with. May you eat out of the stew pot. May you eat out of the pot that Jesus stirred up for you. Ladies, you're concerned about so many things. High level of stress gets on you. But I pray that you will eat from the pot of Jesus and take what he's given to you. And those of you at home, you get that Bible out and you keep it out. And you enjoy it. You say, I don't know where to read. Open it up. The Holy Spirit will help you. If you don't know where to read, begin in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, begin in the book of John. See what the Spirit of the Lord is. Lord, if there's anyone in this room right now that is sick in their body, may you bring healing to them. Is there anyone here in the room today that would say, Pastor Paulette, I don't know Jesus. I haven't turned my life over to him, but I'd like to give my heart to him today. Anyone here today? God bless you. Anyone else? I want to give my heart to Jesus. I don't want to backslide. I don't want to fall away. I want to give my heart to Him. Anyone else today? Good, lift your hand and say, I'm ready. I don't want to. I see you back there, sir. God bless you. I don't want to go one more day. In Jesus' name. You two brothers that have lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And the rest of you, would you pray it with me? Let's pray it together. You at home, if you need Jesus, you need to eat out of this pot today. This is what you're going to do. You're going to eat out of the pot of the Lord. And we expect Him to change your life from now until forever. That's how He changed my life, and I know He'll change yours. Would you pray with me, everybody? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, and I will be clean. I give my life to You. Take me, Lord. I'm Yours. Help me to eat from Your pot and drink from Your blood and eat of Your bread. Come live with me and keep me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would somebody clap your hands for these? God bless you, brother. We will get you baptized in about a month or so or two. Whenever they tell us to be baptized, we will pretty soon be holding a baptismal service. God bless you all today. So good to have you here, my sister. Good to see you today. I'm sorry it's been so long. I forgot your name, but the Lord bless you. Good to see you. I think we forgot our building fund offering today is the first Sunday of the month. I usually have you bring it up. But if you didn't put it in, maybe you thought ahead of me and brought it anyway and put it in. If you did, that's fine. If not, if you want to bring your Kingdom Builders offering, that's good. You want to close with a chorus? We got something? All right, let's do that.
Holy Spirit.
That you don't know. Come on, if you need to bring your Kingdom Builders offering, go ahead at this time. I love you. God bless you. The Lord.